Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, it's Day Player on 720 WGN. If you know that music, you know who's in the studio here. Steve Darnall, he's the editor and chief of Nostalgia Digest magazine. He's joining us to chat up the winter edition. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, David.
And what's going on, buddy?
Well, my ears were burning as I made my way to the studio.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for mentioning the website.
Of course.
And the Franklin McCormick CDs.
Yeah.
And frankly, I loved hearing the memories of the Tribune Tower, of course, which has such a huge role in Chicago radio history.
Sad.
I know. I realize you guys are moving, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful space, mm-hmm. believe me. But we've been kind of spoiled here. I mean, with everything.
Is it Manley? Todd Manley? Is he the? I don't know if you know, he's here now, stuffing stationery into his coat pocket.
Is he really? It's going to be worthless because that address is changing.
Well, yes, of course. Think he can write on the back.
You can't write on the back of that.
Actually, no. I something people may not know because it's 4 a.m. Of course, there aren't many people out in the streets. I was making my way up Michigan Avenue and I saw the banner announcing that this fall this place was going to be a Halloween supply store.
Exactly. Well, you know, they're moving everybody out of here, so I mean
know.
Construction will begin, but the legendary parts of this building, exterior, interior, will of course remain intact because it's a national landmark. Obviously.
I can't imagine you'd tamper with any of this, even if you.
But it could be hotel. It could be residential. It's just going to be different, you know.
And I remember coming in here first time. Seriously, about 20 years ago, my friend Maureen Ryan was an editor at the Tribune,
mm-hmm.
and thanks to her, I had landed some writing jobs for the Friday and the Arts sections, and this was back in the days when you had to actually bring in photos and things.
Yeah.
And it was just absolutely remarkable, and then you realized, oh my gosh, even with the changes, even as desks become cubicles,
yeah.
It's just still this legend. It's like what they say about the streets of London where you're kicking up the same dust that Charles Dickens kicked
up. It's sadder to me because knowing that 1924 we started broadcasting out of here, sad mm-hmm. to me to know that we started broadcasting, I think, television. Roger, was it 46, 45, something like that?
Yeah. I remember I was actually up here
47?
With my sister was up for a Bozo broadcast.
It wouldn't have been here.
Yes, it was. I remember faintly.
Bozo started in 61 at Bradley Place.
No,
yeah. It was always Bradley Place.
I remember.
I know. I don't want to know. This is my segment, guys.
Sorry. It was a Christmas show. And also.
It would have been a Bradley, though.
What did the school teacher with the magic mirror was up here, too. Ding Dong, not Ding Dong, Schoolhouse. But it was one of those shows. It was also from up here.
Okay, all right. Okay. Right. But I mean, really, when you think about, I mean, all those legendary broadcasts that came out of this building, mm-hmm. it's just kind of sad.
Well, and one of the things that we love to do with the Digest is chronicle that as best we can. I mean, that's why, I mean, the new issue, speaking of WGN, speaking of Bozo Circus, there's an article in here about Ned Locke.
Which I loved. And you know what? And this is why I love this magazine. It's just not your typical. Ned was
Mr. Ned
on Bozo,
Ringmaster Ned.
But the article isn't about that.
Ned.
It's really about other parts of his career, and that's what I always find fascinating about all of this. And I was reading just some of this. It was a radio show called Uncle Ned Squadron, correct?
Right.
And I don't want to spoil all of it, but you know, he was 9 when he started on radio, which I did not know. And much later, he did a show called The Sunday Funnies and Captain Hart and His Pets on WLS. He was an announcer on Mary Hartline Super Circus, which I did not know. This is beyond this article. But and then later on WGN with Lunchtime Little Theater, Paddle Boat, Ringmaster Ned. And before when he retired from television, he went and became a mayor in Missouri.
I believe you're right.
For
yes.
decades.
Yes.
This guy.
And it was interesting, because he was an aviator from a very early age. He loved aviation. And he had the chance to come to Chicago to another station, which, of course, it's WMAQ. It's not like they're competing with us, to do this show, Uncle Ned's Squadron. And it was a half hour every Saturday morning devoted to aviation, broadcast from the Merchandise Mart. His announcer was a young Hugh Downs.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And of course, this was at a time when, you know, the idea of sustained air travel was still very much a novelty. And I suppose to a lot of people, still terrifying. But he conveyed the message to a young generation that this was actually pretty great and served a lot of good. And
MAQ's not on the air anymore.
No. Go figure. Yeah. Why? You have been here a while.
Yeah, I've been not paying attention.
You need to get out of this building a little bit more, David.
And by the way, I'm going to hold this up to WGNradio.com if you're watching. So this the winter edition of the magazine has Jack Benny on the cover, and that always sucks me right in. Always. Because it's Jack Benny month. I mean, February is Jack Benny month
on our radio show. Those were the days because he was born February 14th.
Yeah.
And we've always managed to find different ways to
celebrate him.
And
we're going to talk about Jack in just a little bit. One of the stories that I really found fascinating in this book, and I keep forgetting behind Get Smart, and I was saying to Roger earlier, who was the creator of that? And it just didn't come to mind. But it was Mel Brooks and Buck Henry.
Yes, two absolutely legendary figures in comedy. Yeah. They weren't legendary at the time.
No.
But yes, they were. That they were talking about creating some sort of spy spoof, you know, and Mel Brooks said, you know, he wanted to do something. No one had ever done a show about an idiot, so he thought it was time somebody did.
Well, you think about, too, that James Bond was already out there. Man from U.N.C.L.E. was out there, so there was some spy stuff on the air, spy movies and stuff. But, you know, when you think about the 60s, there were so many unique things they were trying to do with Magic, with Bewitched, Night Dream of Jeannie. They were trying to do with the Munsters and Addams Family. They were just trying to do some unique things outside of the normal family sitcom. And this was way ahead of its time, kind of.
Oh, it really was. Yeah. And you know, it's so funny. I mean, I remember falling in love with Don Adams and Barbara Feldon's work and Ed Platt as the chief from a very early age. But that's what I love about publishing the Nostalgia Digest, is that there's room for all those articles.
Sure.
There's room for an article about Get Smart, just as there's room for an article about Jack Benny's radio career. And there's room for an article about Ned Locke before he became Ringmaster Ned.
Film historian Matthew Hoffman from the Pickwick Theater wrote an article on the 85th anniversary of King Kong, which, you know, I remember watching that as a kid and remember how freaked out I was seeing that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I don't care how jaded you are. That still can be an absolutely terrifying movie.
Yeah.
And I know he's showing that at the Pickwick in March, I think. But, yes, I mean, he wanted to do something to commemorate the 85th anniversary of that film. We wanted to do it. He had some great photos. We had some great photos. You know, and you get good writing and good photos, you've got a great article, and that's
true.
That's what we try to do. Also, I want to say something, and we'll presumably come back to this. You know this fellow Carl Amari?
Yeah.
Carl has a show here, I guess.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
I guess.
Carl and I have worked out this arrangement, which I'm very pleased about, because a subscription to Nostalgia Digest, we've always tried to make it affordable. And a one-year subscription, it's four issues for $17. But if you go to...
I think you're too cheap.
Thank you. You mean in terms of how little I charge?
I'd pay $35.
Well, it's very sweet.
I know I would. I mean, this is. I look forward to seeing this every quarter. This is a pretty. So, I mean, that's a deal to begin with, and then you got even a bigger deal that you've arranged with WGN.
Have your credit cards ready, America, because yes, if you order a 2-year subscription through our website at nostalgiadigest.com, and when you place the order, you mention WGN. Thanks to Carl Amari, we'll throw in a 5-CD set of Carl's Twilight Zone radio shows.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The ones he produced in the 90s and in the aughts. And we've got them on hand. There's some great names on there. And so, yeah, it's all you have to do is go to nostalgiadigest.com, mention WGN when you order the 2-year subscription. The Twilight Zone set is included absolutely free. Plus, you'll get 8 issues of the Nostalgia Digest. And,
that's
of course,
a great deal. Yeah.
If you don't trust the web, you can call our offices at 773-769-6575. Obviously, I will not pick up right now.
Not right now.
No, because I don't want to be rude to David.
That'd be
but
great.
We'd love to hear
Start
from
taking
you.
Calls on
That's
the
That's right. Yeah. Excuse me. Just
yes.
It's like that the New Yorker cartoon about the woman in the wedding gown. Who's,
yes.
And she says, sweetie, and the bridegroom standing behind her and says, honey, I planned this date with Bill months ago. Yeah.
The I got a caller that said you sound like you're in another room, so I'm moving your mic closer.
Oh,
to
you. Well, here, let me walk.
There you go, there you go.
Here
you're
I am.
You're talking about King Kong, Fay Wray, big star of the movie.
Yeah,
and I never knew this, but she was James Cameron's Titanic. She was asked to play the character of Rose in Titanic because presumably she stayed pretty active.
Fay
Wray,
yes, I mean
long
she
beyond
was.
That. Yeah.
And I know she turned up at the Oscars once.
Yeah, she did.
She
that was
away,
right huh? around that time, too.
Yeah.
She was in her 90s. Yeah, that's exactly right. One of the other articles in here, one was called Hawaii Calls, and I caught some of your show this afternoon, and you
oh,
were talking
right.
about the series that aired in the late 1950s.
Right.
But what struck me, and I guess I had to remember this, is obviously television, you know, the dawn of television was about 1947, but I mean, I don't think my grandmother bought a television until the late 1950s. She was still
sure.
had a radio, and a lot of people could not afford to do that. But by the time 1958 rolled around, I mean, that type of radio was kind of toward the end of that era, right? I mean, it was...
Well, Hawaii Calls actually began on radio in 1935 out west. And, of course, that's... a whole other story.
Yeah,
but yeah,
yeah,
by the late 1950s, radio drama and comedy as we knew it, as we know it from the Golden Age,
yeah.
it was winding down. I mean, there were still a few dramatic shows. There were still some soap operas. But clearly, the money for big budget entertainment was going into TV. The stars were going to TV. So yeah, anybody who was doing radio at this point, it's because they really loved it and they were really good at it.
And 2,000 shows. I think people don't realize that these radio shows were on. Like, there was like 1,000
oh,
episodes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hawaii Calls was on the air for 40 years.
That's
I mean,
crazy.
Think about when this debuted 6 years before Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
24 years before Hawaii became a state.
Yeah.
And it ran for 40 years.
In the mid-70s. Yeah.
Right. And this is one of the things I love about these shows. And again, why we like to publish articles like this is that you hopefully get some understanding of how important these were.
Yeah.
I mean, Hawaii, to hear radio from Hawaii in 1935,
yeah.
you might as well have told people it was Mars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
You know,
exactly.
The idea of traveling to Hawaii for a vacation, that took serious money and serious effort.
And, of course, articles on Paulette Goddard, Peggy King. You've got something in here
yes.
on Inner Sanctum. So there's just a... And they're all, again, these aren't, is what I said, these aren't Wikipedia stories where you just go and read and they're going to give you some
well,
background.
I hope not, yeah.
You find some really unique angles of these subjects and of these people. And I think that's why I find this always so fascinating. I mean, for years, Jack Benny has been a focus on usually the spring cover because it's he's the biggest star that ever was on radio. But there's always a completely, I could go back 40 years, there's always a completely different story in here.
Well, I mean, yeah, Jack Benny's genius was such that you could write about virtually any
yeah.
aspect of his
yeah.
career, and it would be different. I mean, I've thought about this a lot because, of course, on our show, those were the days. February is Jack Benny month. This will be the second 39th Jack Benny month coming up. And I've talked with a lot of people about Jack's work in radio and Jack's work in television. And the only thing I could really compare it to was Paul McCartney playing bass for the Beatles when he developed that melodic style that you hear on things mm-hmm. like Paperback Writer. And then Paul McCartney playing with Wings when he developed that sort of low, heavy,
sure.
hard rock bass sound. And to actually sort of reinvent your own yourself, even though you could probably have done this very thing. But you simply chose to close the door on one and open another. I mean, Jack Benny on radio and Jack on television, they're two very different things.
They are. And different eras and different stories. But,
yes.
But both timeless and both listening to it and watching it, I think are timeless. It's one of the few shows that stands up to its time. And we're going to talk about that and much more with Steve Darnall of Nostalgia Digest magazine and NostalgiaDigest.com coming up next, 720 WGN.
Hey, bud. Bud.
Huh?
Got a match?
Match? Yes, I have one right here.
Don't make a move. This is a stick-up. What? You heard me.
Mister, mister, put down that gun.
Shut up. Now, come on. Your money or your life? Look, Bud, I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
State Player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Steve Darnall of Nostalgia Digest magazine. You knew that he was, the audience knew the pause was because he's so damn cheap. He wanted to, he was going to risk his life.
That's one of the things that the article in the winter issue is about, is that Jack really worked so long and so hard at establishing a character named Jack Benny that by 1948, when that clip was broadcast, people didn't have to hear any dialogue at all. The pause gave them time to laugh because they knew the character so well that they knew he was thinking it over. And it's still one of the most famous jokes in radio history.
In February, Jack would have been 124 years old. So in other words, he'd still be dead.
He's certainly 39.
Exactly. Oh, hold off, everybody. 931 radio episodes of the Jack Benny program.
Yep. And thankfully, a lot of them have survived.
And 260 TV episodes. I mean, this guy was unstoppable.
He really was. And I think he was, I've spoken with his daughter, Joan Benny, about him.
Yeah.
And he was always sort of, as she said, you know, George Burns was more likely to reminisce, to wax nostalgic about vaudeville and Fink's mules and all that. And Jack, her father, was more likely to just look forward to the next gig. And that's kind of how it went up to the day he died. I mean, he only got the diagnosis of his cancer when he had to cancel a performance. But that's, like I say, these are the sort of people we love to cover because their stories are so rich and so entertaining.
That was Chuck Shinn's first interview, wasn't it? Or one of his
first? One of his first, fall of 1970.
So he's from Waukegan, and, you know, the Genesee Theater, which is still going strong, and I got to tell you, great performances up at the Genesee in Waukegan.
Absolutely.
So I've got a clip I want to share, and this is when the Jack Benny program was live from the Genesee Theater in his hometown of Waukegan. Let's take a listen.
J-E-L-L-O!
The Jell-O program, coming to you from Waukegan, Illinois, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, greetings from Waukegan. Our last broadcast of the season is coming to you from the stage of the Genesee Theater in Waukegan, Illinois.
Yes, sir. Jell-O again, folks.
Please, Jack, wait till I introduce you.
Oh, pardon me, I'm nervous.
On a certain Valentine's Day many years ago, a stork flew over this fair city and dropped a little bundle of joy. And who do you think this bundle was?
Jell-O again.
Jack, will you please wait a minute?
Don, who was born here, you or me? For heaven's sake.
So without further ado, I bring you that local boy who surprised everybody by making good, Jack Benny.
All right, there you have it, a little Jack Benny from the Genesee Theater. Pretty cool that he came back to his hometown. There's a statue outside that theater, too,
there is,
of Jack.
There
Yeah.
I mean, well, as I understand it, he actually grew up sort of across the street from the Genesee Theater.
Okay.
I think where there's now mostly parking lots, but regardless.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Benny was the greatest comedian radio ever produced.
Yeah.
I mean, even the comedians looked up to Jack, And there's a reason for that. I mean, he was so inventive, and he was so dedicated to the craft of comedy.
But you could name hundreds of television shows and radio shows, and not all of them. You know, I have a hard time with some of them standing up to the test of time. They're more vintage, and you have to place yourself in that time period, like a Fibber McGee and Molly and so forth. But the comedy of Jack Benny that he would do and the storylines again, on radio, whether it was the late 1930s or on televisions in the early 1960s, they still stand up.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, because, you know, the character is timeless. I mean, there may have been topical references at some point or another.
Yeah, but okay.
But, you know, the fact is, it was not topical monologues like Bob Hope, or it was not, you know, social satire like Fred Allen. It was just this character with very recognizable traits and foibles, And those never go away. The idea that somebody thinks they're sexier than they are, or thinks,
yeah, right.
or thinks they're more yeah. of a spendthrift than they are, you know, that just doesn't change.
At some point, he said in the mid 1960s, you know, okay, I'm done with the rat race. I don't want to do this weekly anymore. And he was doing it for 30 some years.
Oh yeah,
and so or more. And he was touring still, and he had some specials on, and he would do the I can't remember what they used to call it, but it was like the last Jack Benny special.
Oh, I remember seeing Jack Benny's first farewell special.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big all-star affair. I remember that. I was about 9 years old when that aired.
Yeah, and he passed away in 74, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was making still frequent appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Jack Benny was Johnny's idol. For so many years. And always looked up to him and appeared on the Jack Benny program. And Jack appeared on his program in the 50s when Johnny had another show. I have just a small clip here of Johnny talking to Jack about his marriage to Mary Livingston. And it was about 9 months before Jack passed away. Let's take a listen.
Last, but you've been married how many years now?
46.
46 years.
In fact, we just recently celebrated our 46th
anniversary.
Wedding anniversary.
Did Mary ever get jealous, or does she get jealous when you were married?
I'd give her no reason to be jealous.
Now, Freddie DeCordova's going like this. He's saying, yes, Mary does get jealous. Now, Freddie was with you for years on your show.
Mary gets jealous of me? What do I do that would make Mary jealous? Or let's put it another word. What can I do?
Which is awesome. And Fred DeCordova, of course, if people don't know this, he was the producer of The Tonight Show, but he was a producer of most of Jack's, I think, television.
A lot
programs.
Of Jack's television.
Maybe some radio, too?
No,
it was all television.
Yeah.
Okay. All
but,
right.
No, he was just, I mean, Jack had a tremendous career, and there's a reason he's been on the cover of our magazine more than anyone else, because he's universally beloved. And as you point out, there are so many ways to write about him, and that's... You know, that's one of the things we encourage our writers to do is find, you know, if there's any aspect that interests you in this subject, feel free to explore it, whether it's Jack Benny or Rodgers and Hammerstein, you
right.
know, or the career of Frank Lovejoy, or some, you know, television sitcom from 50 years ago, or the Inner Sanctum radio show, or the Inner Sanctum movies. We've written about both of those.
And then I'm sorry, Steve, have you had an article about Franklin McCormick?
Not in a long while.
I would love to do that because many, many moons ago, I purchased from the store a cassette.
Sure.
Before there were CDs of his show.
We've
one of his shows.
Upgraded since then.
I know. I haven't.
That's funny.
And
funny.
And like Dave and I talked a little while back. I grew up. Listening to that late at night whenever our family would be out. And I just loved his program because every night it was a different type of show.
That's right.
And if you'd like me to, I would love to research it and do a nice article for you.
Absolutely. I love hearing from people who love the idea of writing for us. So by all means.
Excellent. Very cool. And also, you can catch all the listings for Steve's show, Those Were the Days, and also for WGN Radio Theater here as well. All right. Talk to us about the special subscription thing with WGN again.
Yes, of course. Well, a one-year subscription, four issues, $17. Already a bargain, you're thinking. And
yes,
you're right.
That's right.
It is. 2 years is $30, eight issues. And if, when you place your order, you mention WGN, we will include, at no extra cost, a five CD set of Carl Amari's Twilight Zone radio shows.
Which are really,
it's four
really
or five
cool.
CDs.
They're really cool.
Are. I mean, they're adapted from the original TV series, but they're audio dramas, radio dramas. And that will be included with your first issue at no extra cost. So all you have to do is go to NostalgiaDigest.com, mention WGN when you order the two-year subscription, or call us at 773 866-769-6575. Again, mention WGN when you order the two-year subscription. We'll send the Twilight Zone CDs with your order. Also, I mean, I know we're in a lot of stores, but this will save you the embarrassment of being told that the store is not a library.
They're sold out. Well, oh, yeah, right, just, exactly. You know, yeah, exactly.
So, we hope you'll visit us at nostalgiadigest.com.
Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thank you, David.
Take care, buddy.